reasons. Luke uses this passage to set up for his gospel the mission of Jesus Christ to the people he was sharing with and ministering to. So Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." That sounds so good, doesn't it? We talked last Sunday, and it's on our website if you didn't catch it, but last Sunday we talked about these two words that Jesus was anointed. As it says, he has anointed me to bring good news. And he was sent, that he has sent me to proclaim that captive. We talked about being anointed and sent. Jesus was anointed, and that the anointing and the filling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit on his life was for purpose, was for mission, to be sent. And we would find in the scriptures so often this anointing of the Holy Spirit is for mission, is for purpose. And how it is important for us to understand that God gives us the Holy Spirit, and he puts the Holy Spirit in us, and he anoints us as well. But it is for mission, right? And if we separate the giving of the Holy Spirit from the mission of his good news, then we're making a mistake. And I think sometimes we look for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives because we need things. And that's good, and he works that way, that's true. But oftentimes I believe the Holy Spirit is given in our lives for mission, so that we can not only receive from him, but that we can give of what he has given us, that we can pour out what has been poured in for mission. And so we want to talk a little bit more about this mission. And today we want to talk about good news to the poor, because he was anointed to bring good news to the poor. So let's watch this video together on Seek Justice. And I think the words in the video will explain why I'm sharing this video about good news to the poor. Define for you the word justice. I think so often in our world we have a tendency to identify this world, especially in the movie industry, how we identify this word with justice, with punishing somebody for doing wrong. We take this negative side of this word, justice, and we think that that means payment to somebody, evil for evil. And yet so often in God's way of doing things, he looks at this word justice, and he takes those who have been mistreated and harmed and hurt, and he lifts them up out of that and restores them to what he wants to give them. And he talks to us about caring for those who have been mistreated, who have been harmed, who have been damaged, who have been hurt in some way, who have been defiled and taken advantage of, and he wants us to take them and lift them up out of that. And he talks in Scripture about giving them and restoring them and treating them justly. by putting them in that position that God wants them to be. And so oftentimes when we talk about Scripture and we talk about this phrase, bringing good news to the poor, this word poor was not just about not having money or not having the things you need to survive in society. It's not really about monetary things, although that is part of it. It's more than that. It's about the person who has been mistreated. It's about the person whose life has just hurt them and harmed them. It's about being disenfranchised or outcast by the world and not accepted by people. It can be socially, it can be spiritually, it can be physically, it can be materially, monetarily. This idea of poor, being poor in spirit, not having anything of the things of the Spirit of God, or being poor in it, and being poor relationally, being alone and not without friends and without people and no one to care for them, and right, without family, being poor relationally or socially, being an outcast because of life and how it's treated you, and so now you're in a position where the world does not accept who you are. And you really have no path or course to have that restored. So Jesus comes along to the church. Jesus comes along himself to the world. And he goes up to the leper and he cares for them. He comes to the prostitute, to the demon-possessed, the spiritually poor, the socially poor, the monetarily poor. And he cares for them, right? And he does these amazing things to bring them and restore to them the justice, the way that God wants them to be cared for, the way that God wants them to be treated. That's justice. And that's what he talks to us about. And so Jesus comes, and the statement he makes through the prophet Isaiah, and while he stands in front of his hometown of Nazareth, he says, "I have been anointed to bring good news to the poor." So as we talk about this, we need to see it's more than being generous to those who are less fortunate on the street. If you're walking by somebody and you would see that they are poorer than, it's that. Definitely it's that, but it's more than that. Because there could be a neighbor who lives beside you that may have a lot and may have all the monetary needs. But like Zacchaeus, he may have been rich, but he was spiritually poor and socially poor. Because Zacchaeus wasn't accepted in his city. He may have had a lot of money and a nice house, but he didn't have anything in the spiritual things. And he was poor. And Jesus came to care for him too. And so it's bigger than what we see here. It's important for us to understand that Jesus came to reach into the lives of our areas of depravity, our areas of need, our voids, what we don't have, and elevate us and lift us up out of these things. He's anointed to bring good news to the poor. So there's a place in Matthew where I would look, and it gives me a little survey of Jesus. Matthew kind of gives this paragraph that surveys this, and I think it shows us the heart of Jesus, so I'd like to read it. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news, right? He was anointed to bring the good news to the poor about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." So Matthew gives a bit of an overview of Jesus and how he's going from town to village to and these different places, and he sees all these needs, and he preaches the good news of the kingdom, and he tells them good news, and he heals sick and takes care of diseases, and he's doing all these things to just restore people. But then we hear, as he looks at them all, he looks and he says, there's so much need. There's so much void. There's so much where people don't have. They need to be lifted out of these things. So pray. Pray to God. Pray to God the Father and ask him more laborers, more workers, more people like Jesus going out into the villages and the towns and caring for the people and helping the needs. This is the heart of Jesus. And it gives us an overview of Jesus' ministry, and it lines up with that phrase that the Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Well, go through the Gospels, and it's not hard to find all sorts of places where Jesus is doing exactly this, where this was his ministry. This is what he was doing. I mean, think about the woman who was caught in adultery. The woman in John chapter 8 who's caught in adultery, there she is in front of Jesus and this crowd of accusers, this group of people that were ready to stone her according to Jewish law. If you were her, you would know in that day, in just a few moments, stones would come your way and your life would go. Because they would stone you to death according to the Moses law. And that's what she was facing at that moment, but Jesus turned the tide. Stooped down and wrote in the sand. Talked about the fact that if you have sinned, you shouldn't cast a stone. He who is without sin casts the first stone to take this woman's life. And the accusers all started to leave and go away. And what were Jesus' words? Well, you know, he brings good news to the poor. Right? He brings good news to the poor. Woman, where's your accusers? Well, they've all left. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Well, that's good news. Come on, put yourself in the position of the woman there, about to be stoned. And in a few moments, you look up, neither do I condemn you. Go, you're free. Don't sin anymore. Don't do this anymore. Don't put yourself back. I've released you. I've lifted you up out of the position you were in. Don't do this anymore. He restored her. Good news. He brings good news to that person. How about the paralytic man who was let down through a roof? There's this paralytic man and some friends brought him and they couldn't get, there's just too many people in the house, so they rip off the tiles of the roof and let them down through the roof. And Jesus looks at the man and immediately gives him good news and says to him in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, "Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven." And let me make no mistake on this, this is the bigger healing. This is way more important than getting your legs to work again. For one will last a few decades, but the other for eternity. And so he gave him the greater gift and said, "Your sins are forgiven you." But of course, the Pharisee said, "Who is this man that thinks he can forgive sin?" And Jesus turns to the Pharisees and basically says, "I know what you're thinking. And so that you know that I can do both, rise, take up your bed and walk." And that must have been good news too. Good news. Jesus was there to bring good news to the people. I look at the woman at the well. She had a difficult life. For years, it would seem, because we hear about the story that she had five husbands, and the one that she was living with at present was not her husband. And it seemed for years that she had been dipping into a well to try to get needs met. To putting her bucket down into a well of marriage and relationship to look for the healing and the health and the hope that she would want, and it kept failing her. And Jesus spoke these words to her, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again." Of course, the water that she was about to dip in when she went to the well to get water for the day. "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Not only speaking about just some water you could use for a day, but the water that she had been seeking for years in her life that kept failing, her brokenness. Good news. She has come to someone who can bring healing and hope to that. Good news. I think of the widow who was in a funeral procession, burying her only son. She lost her husband, and now her only son has died. Jesus is coming into town as this funeral procession is going by and knows the story because he's Jesus. He sees the woman and understands this is her only son and probably, I'm guessing, would know the grief that she is experiencing in that moment, and we can only imagine what kind of grief that was. But I just find it amazing, you know, Jesus comes in and he just walks up to this funeral procession and he goes to the mother. He interrupts the procession. How about that? Walks up to the mother, "Woman, don't cry." And then he looks at the man and at the young man and he says, "Stand up, get up," right? You see that? You don't cry. And then he says, young men, I tell you, get up. And of course, that body has to obey the voice of the God who created it. And that boy gets up. I don't have the creativity to imagine the response of the mother, who was weeping, who was crying because her only son is gone. Having lost her husband, now her son, and all of a sudden her son is sitting up looking at her, and the joy that must be over the two of them, Jesus comes to bring good news. To take what is dead and has died in our lives and speak good news into the death that has happened in us. I think of the woman who the scripture talks to us about, how she pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. I'm sure you've heard this story a number of times. For many of you who have been in the Word and at church a lot, this story comes up quite a bit. For 12 years, she went to doctors and searched and tried to find a way to deal with the hemorrhaging that was going on in her body. We understand Jewish law tells us that if you have a flow of blood, you are considered unclean. So she would be a bit of a social outcast. She would be set out of community, right? Because she had a flow of blood, she could not be clean. And she went to doctors and doctors to try to deal with this and to heal this. And nothing was working. And so she turned to Jesus, slipped in, not willing to come in front of him to talk to him about the issue, but just to quietly hide and slip in and touch the hem of his garment, hoping that that would be enough to bring healing. Jesus turns and speaks, because sure enough, she is healed. Jesus turns and speaks to, but you notice the first word, daughter. She's a bit of an outcast probably because of that flow of blood, but he turns to her and calls her daughter. Good news. Where others would say, stay away, arm's length, not too close, you are unclean, he turns to her and says, what? Daughter. You are mine, my daughter. I love you. It's beautiful. You know, there are people in our society that hunger for that kind of word. They are outcast. They are rejected. They are hurt. And they have lived a life of rejection. And we, the church, stand as the voice of Jesus. And too often our voice has not been this voice that says daughter. We need to change our message to line up with Jesus Christ. Amen? They need to hear the love and care of a God who wants to lift them out of the hurt and pain and injustice that happens in their life. They need a body of Christ in our world that says son, that says daughter. Right? Neither do I condemn you. This is what Jesus came for. You read this through the scriptures all over the place. I take you to the Old Testament, and it's near the end of the reign of the kings, and they're going to be exiled in a little while, and a guy named Jehoiakim is a king, and he's been put there by Egypt, who's ruling over, so he's kind of a puppet king, and things have been kind of wrecked in Judah, but he starts to rebuild it as this puppet king, and he puts in forced labor. He takes his people and he brings them around and he puts them together and he starts forcing them to build his palace. Forced labor, slave labor for his own people. This is one of the things that would tell you in Jeremiah earlier on in a scripture earlier. And it says here in Jeremiah 22, verse 15 and 16, God starts to speak to this Jehoiakim, and he says, a beautiful cedar palace does not make a great king. A beautiful, wonderful church does not make a successful church. A wonderful building does not make an amazing body of Christ. Your father Josiah, the king before you, your father Josiah also had plenty to eat and drink, but he was just and right in all his dealings. That's why God blessed him. He gave justice and help to the poor and needy, and everything went well for him. Isn't that what it means to know me? Oh, catch that connection. I want you to catch that connection in this passage of Scripture. This is huge because so many of us say we want to know you. So many of us say, God, we want to know you. We want to know you better. We want to know you more. And he just finished telling Jehoiakim that his father Josiah gave justice and help to the poor and needy. Isn't that what it means to know me? Isn't it to know me is to take on my heart, to take on my passion, to take on my desire? Isn't it to know me to be able to do what is in my heartbeat to do, which is to lift up those who have been treated unjustly, lift up and care for those who have been rejected, to take those who are poor in heart, poor in spirit, poor in body, and lift them out and love them and treat them kindly and treat them well? This is what he says. If you want to know him, love his kids, right? Love his children, and we're all his children. He made and shaped every one of us. So we come back into the New Testament and we find Jesus in a place, because I've talked to you about the fact that poor is just not about the monetary poor or those who don't have a lot in this world. It's more than that. Here's Jesus. He has called one of these people, a tax collector, who is just socially rejected in the Jewish culture. If you were a Jew and you were collecting taxes from another Jew, you were definitely rejected by the Jewish people, seen as a traitor. Because you're actually working for the Roman government to take money from Jews and give it to Rome. Not popular. And so he's socially rejected, and Jesus makes Matthew a tax collector. And of course, Matthew then invites Jesus to his house, and Matthew invites all his friends. And guess what? They're tax collectors, right? Because he hangs around with them. They're the only ones that are really going to be his friends. Anyway, so there's lots of them that are around, and it says that Jesus reclined at the table in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Well, the Pharisees saw this, and they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with these tax collectors and sinners?" Well, Jesus heard this, and he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And I like this phrase. And maybe we should learn it too. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God doesn't need you to sacrifice to him. He's got everything. He doesn't need you to sacrifice for him. But what he does want is you to show mercy to others. Your sacrifice, blessing and helping others. Mercy is to sacrifice what you think you deserve, what you think is just for you. Mercy is setting that aside in order to help and do good for another who doesn't necessarily deserve it. Isn't that mercy? And God is wanting us to show mercy. That's what he's telling them. That's what Jesus is doing, spending time with the tax collectors and sinners. Sure, they haven't been living a life that's been great for God, but that's why God is there, to bring them back to him. Amen? Isn't that what he did for you? Or have you always been a good follower of Jesus Christ? Have you always been the one that has been living so well that God says, man, what am I doing? He should have been in my kingdom. I should have been blessing this guy and this girl. They're just me all over again. No, you and I know. We know right well that there is sin in our life, and if it isn't for the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross, we belong in hell with every other person. And we know this. And we know we have no right whatsoever to demand the things of God. It is by grace and by his mercy. And God says, you have come into my kingdom because of my great mercy. And now I ask you, I call you, I anoint you, and I send you to go out and show the same mercy to those who don't deserve it either. And this is what he says to the Pharisees. Go and learn what this means. Go and figure this out. I don't need your sacrifice. What I want from you is mercy to others. To give the goodness of kindness to others when they don't even deserve it. This is what Jesus came for. This is what he was anointed for. This is what he was sent for. We'll do a word study in the scriptures when you look at the word poor, understanding that it's not just about monetary things or not having enough in the world. There's a lot of ways we can be poor in our lives without and depraved, so to speak, and without in our world. You look at these words in the scriptures, you can see them, Psalms, Proverbs, lots of places. The book of the law talks a lot of places about how the people of Israel needed to care for those who were less fortunate, finding themselves in rough positions. Psalm 72 says this, when talking about a righteous king and comparing that kind of to who God is, it says, he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and for the needy. He will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. So I just want you to remember something in that scripture. I want you to remember something. The next time you think it's okay to mistreat somebody else, the next time you think it's okay to fly off the handle or to take advantage or to mistreat somebody, whether they be in the church or in the workplace, or it doesn't matter what they've done to you, the next time that you have this desire, this temptation to mistreat somebody, to gossip about them, to backbite on them, I want you to remember this last phrase. That last phrase, their life is precious to Jesus. Hello? Anybody here today? Their life is precious to Jesus. And maybe I'm not happy with them, and maybe they've mistreated me, and maybe there's something that they've done that they deserve something else from me, but you know what? I'm not going to do anything because their life is precious to Jesus. Right? And that's a good phrase to remember. It helps us maybe hold back from some things we think is okay to do. Proverbs 19:17, if you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord and he will repay you. Well, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? When you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. God takes it personally. That's interesting. He cares very much about them. We can come back again to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, 38, and you see it. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to the disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. He has such a great desire to reach the people, to reach the masses. You can hear the passion of Jesus for the needy, whether they're poor materially, physically, socially, spiritually, so many different ways, and yet God loves them and cares for them. And his response is, more people to do the work. Amen? More laborers. There's too much for one. We need many. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. Send more. You guys laborers out there? We got some laborers? Because God is looking for laborers, and he's praying for laborers, and he's wanting laborers. So let me fast forward to the end of the age, because Jesus talks about the end of the age and the time when he comes, when the world is changing, and he comes to judge the world. In Matthew 25, he comes and he talks and he actually describes what the righteous are like. And he says, the king will say to those on his right hand, that's the righteous, come you blessed of my father. Come, my father's blesses you. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because I was hungry. Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me to visit me. Well, of course, the righteous are saying to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and when did we feed you? And I don't remember. When were you thirsty and we gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit you? And the king will answer them and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. I don't think that sinks in that easily into our skulls. I'm not going to say you have thick skulls. I probably do. But it takes a bit to sink in sometimes to realize that when we see someone who is in need, when we see a brother and sister in Christ, or it isn't just even about Christians, it's beyond that, of course, to anyone who is in need, and we have the ability to help them, and the Spirit prompts us to help them, and we help them. And we care for them, whether it be a cup of cold water or visiting them when they're sick or clothing them or giving them a bag of groceries and things like that. Jesus takes this very personally and he says, when you do it to them, you do it to me. And so we don't always look at the person who is in need, who is rejected by society, who is poor spiritually and doesn't have much of the things of the Spirit of God in their lives. We don't always look at them and realize that as I bless them, as I care for them, as I pour out of myself into them, that Jesus looks and says, hey, you're doing that to me. You're doing that to me. Boy, maybe that would change a little bit of how we would feel as a church, how we would feel as a body of Christ in receiving those who would come into our contact, into our workplaces, into our church, into our groups, into our friendships, and begin to realize that as we would embrace them and care for them and reach out to them, we are fulfilling the mission of Christ, and Christ takes this very personally. It's like doing it to him. Jesus states that those who bring good news to the poor, not only in word but in action, are personally caring for Jesus and definitely caring for his mission. When you do it to them, you do it to him. We are anointed and sent to bring good news to the poor, just like Jesus. Yes, the good news of the gospel and the evangelical church is focused very much on the message when we say good news. Oftentimes, we focus very much in telling them about Jesus Christ dying for sin. But Jesus calls us to do that, yes, and this is important, and we must do this as well. But there is more to it than the message. For Jesus not only gave the message of the kingdom, he also gave them healing and provision and generosity and forgiveness and mercy and compassion. And these things are so important for the good news. His mission is our mission too. Kingston Gospel Temple, we need to be a people that love those, care for those, show mercy to those, and have compassion to those who are poor in one way or another, who do not have. Right? You are rich. I'm just not talking about the money in your pockets. Because some of you say, no, I'm not. But you have the precious blood of Jesus Christ who has forgiven you of sin. Most of you here today are in that condition. And because of that, the kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. You are rich. And we know because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be free from bitterness. You can be free from guilt. You can be free from condemnation. You can be loved unconditionally in Jesus Christ and in the church of Jesus. You are rich. And we should be generous with what we have been freely given. That's what Jesus said to the disciples as he sent them out. Freely you have received, freely give. Right? You have so much. We don't need more. We need to give. We need to care. We need to love. We need to forgive. We need to be generous. Amen? Am I getting through? Are we understanding this mission? This is not about us. KGT, if we make this business of following Christ about us and our culture of church, we are going to miss it. And we are going to lose life. And we are going to get miserable. And then there will be strife. We need to stay on mission. We need to get on mission. Amen? And show the love of Jesus Christ to those who need it. Now, we know you can't go out and hit every need all the time. You're not going to be able to go out there and solve the world's hunger. We can't do all of it. Jesus said to the disciples, "The poor you will always have with you." He didn't say that so that you would stop caring for them, but that we would understand that would you just at least partner, let's partner with the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. And when he says give, when he says care, when he says forgive, when he says show friendship, when he says let's do the things that he asks us to do. Do the things that we know we can do and have it in our hand and do it well. Because his mission is our mission too. And you have been anointed and sent to bring good news to the poor. Amen? Perhaps they are poor materially, then generously care for an area of need that you can, according to your ability and the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Give to them some groceries. Help them in a way that is responsible and will help them and lift them up. Perhaps they are poor socially, treated as an outcast, not accepted because of their life choices or their circumstances. Perhaps in some way that's done. Well, befriend them and care for them and treat them with respect, right? We are anointed and sent to show love and compassion and care to those who are disenfranchised. Perhaps they're poor physically and they need help because they're going through a physical battle in their body and they just need help in practical ways. Pray for their healing, but provide for them areas of need. Show compassion and mercy. Galatians 6:2-3 says, share each other's burdens. Share each other's burdens. Share each other's burdens, and in this way we obey the law of Christ. It's something that is a law that Christ has for us, right? And the last time I checked, the law you have to obey or there's consequences. Correct? Just go down and go through every red light and every stop sign and do it twice the speed limit and see what kind of attention you get. Break the law, there's consequences. There is a law of Christ to love people, all people. And to care, to share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. I love James, straight up. I like the way he talks. He tells us straight. So there are many people in our world that are poor spiritually. They don't know. They don't understand. They've been deceived. I love the words of Jesus, or the words of Stephen as he's being stoned by so many of those who would call themselves righteous. And he says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're poor spiritually. They don't understand. They don't know. And so, saints of God, let us understand that we must care for those. Too often we want to rebuke or reprimand a person who isn't living right for Jesus and making poor choices. But When's the last time you know that a strong rebuke and reprimand actually causes a person to really love and follow Jesus? It happens, but it's rare. But speaking the truth in love, that's a little different. Knowing how to come alongside a person and care for a person and love a person and then speak to them about how to follow Jesus, that's different. Let's bear each other's burdens. What Jesus did when he met people in poor spiritual condition, he showed them unconditional love, he showed them forgiveness, and then he asked them to turn from their broken life. That's what he did for the adulterous woman who was caught in that adultery. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Compassion and forgiveness change your life. So I bring this to a close, and I just ask you to take on this mission, church. As an individual and as a body of believers, let's take on this mission. Let's care for others. Let's bear each other's burdens. Let's bring good news to those who are poor. They could be poor physically. They could be poor spiritually. They could be poor socially. They could be lacking in so many ways. But listen to the Holy Spirit who has anointed you and who has sent you. Amen? He has anointed you and he has sent you for mission to bring good news to those who need it. And let's show that love and mercy and grace. It's not something I think you do necessarily here at the altar, but it's something you do out there in life as it happens. Who is around you? Who is within your life? Who is within your relationships? Who are there at your workplaces? Who is there at your neighborhood? God might see them in some way as lacking, as poor, and needing to be lifted up. Can you pray maybe this week and ask, God, who is it around me that I could bring good news to in some way? Through action, through forgiveness, through compassion, through friendship, through whatever. What is there around me? Who is there around me that you would like me to just bring some good news to on behalf of you? Stand with me as we bring this to prayer. As we close, let's pray together. Our Father God, we pray in Jesus' name that you would be with us. So often we're going through life and we get blinders on. We get so focused on some of the things that we need and some of our own voids, our own lack, and we don't see what you're calling us to. We don't always listen to your Spirit as we move through our day, sometimes in too much of a rush. So much our mind can be cluttered with things, with the tasks of the things that we need to accomplish in order for our life to be okay. But you didn't put us into this world and say, take care of your own needs. You didn't put us into this world and say, you need to figure out everything you need and get it. No, you didn't say that to us. You said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. You didn't put us in this world to seek our own needs. You put us into this world to reach out on mission and care for others. And as we sought your and seek your kingdom first, you add the other things to our life. And so, Lord, we pray, help us have hearts and eyes and ears that are ready to hear your voice's call so that we can be on mission and care for people and meet people and the needs of people that are around us so that we can be good news to those who need good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for hearing the word of the Lord today. Pray that God will impress it in your spirit so that we can live it.